Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I am Russell Tovey.
And I'm Robert Diane Mann.
And this is Talk Art.
Welcome to Talk Art.
That's right, it's a Talk Art live in Margate. How are you today, Robert?
Wow, I love that. A crowd of fun in Margate. Today, Russell, I am feeling proud.
Ah, me too.
This is a very emotional moment for all of us, and I think everyone sat in the audience as well. And in particular for our guest, because today is the first exhibition. It is your first exhibition, isn't it?
Ever.
Yes. Ever.
I'm already crying.
We love
it. I don't know how to try.
Today is the launch, the private view or preview, as some people now say, of our guest's first ever solo exhibition. And 2 years ago, we interviewed him on Talk Art. He's actually in our most recent Talk Art book with the blue cover. And when we did that interview, Tracy Emin heard about it and remembered that she had been a friend of yours for a much longer time than I had.
Yeah.
And yeah, reminded me of that fact.
And still does.
Yeah, exactly. And I was originally introduced to you by somebody who sat in the front row here, Richard Danks, who is an amazing person in his own right. And he connected us. And then now we're sat here. So we are very... Yeah, in Margate. And this is... And this is also the first time that we're seeing your work on canvas. So I'm really excited to discuss that and the progression over the past few years, which feels like it's been rapid. So we would like to welcome to Talk Art... Oliver Hensley!
Hello.
How are you, Oliver?
Good, thank you, good.
Well, how is this? What is this overriding feeling you have right now?
I've only recently learned how to cry properly, which is genuinely, it is a genuine, and I just nearly crying, which is nice. I think it's a big thing for me, you know? I think art is... obviously like a life-saving force, but also it's an incredibly exposing force. And so I think it's brilliant, isn't it? But it's also shit, man. Yeah, it's good. It's brilliant. But yes, I feel a little overwhelmed perhaps because I've been given a lovely opportunity and I'm very pleased.
How did that happen? So we're currently at TKE Studios,
yes,
which is Tracy Emin's foundation. It opened earlier this year. She also has an art school here. How come your show is in this incredible space?
Well, because she's an incredible woman and she kind of sort of tutored me in a way that...
Mentored,
is that a better word?
I think so. I think that's what she's been doing.
Well, or tutored.
Tutored, yeah, true.
I mean, sometimes tutored.
Yeah.
But in a just a brilliant way. She was... pleased, which was impressed by my paintings previously, and kind of obviously, I think she knew what I needed to do to kind of further them and what I was doing perhaps, and yeah, gave me a lot of time and a lot of advice, and obviously she's very clever and knows what she's doing, so I was quite happy to bow down.
And one of the big things is a few years ago, Carl Friedman, who's here as well, and I came to your studio you're in Suffolk, aren't you? Mm-hmm. And you were predominantly making work on paper then, and quite large pieces, but also very intimate kind of A4 pieces.
Yeah.
And that's kind of all you'd been doing at that point, wasn't it? It was all on paper. And you liked that.
Only on paper, because I'd felt a lot of pressure working not on paper, because... everything else is really expensive and it's kind of got this reverence associated to it. And I, you know, you don't know if you're rubbish or not, right? So if I'm going to spend loads of money on canvases, it's ridiculous, because what if I'm just useless and they're all going to go into a, like an incinerator when I'm dead or something? You know? But so you have to take yourself seriously, and obviously then things change and you work on something different. But I still now have only just learned that it's just a big piece of paper on a frame that cost a bit more money. And actually you treat it exactly the same. And like the kind of art I'm most attracted to is never labored art that, you know, I always say this when people say, how long did that take? Fuck off. I don't care. Like it could take me 30 seconds and be brilliant. I don't, you know, but so you know, I can do something on a massive canvas that takes me 10 minutes and is absolutely brilliant. But I don't have a problem with it. Whereas previously I would be like, paper's great because I can chuck it away or do whatever. But yeah, learning with canvas was very interesting. And actually it progressed things like with the painting quite amazingly, because there's only so many times you can work on a piece of paper. And that's another thing I learned from Tracy. I spent ages doing a painting. I was like, fucking brilliant painting. And literally she was like, paint it all white, it's rubbish. I was like, oh God. But then I realized it wasn't my greatest painting. But that's something else I learned really amazingly was you know, you've got to edit yourself and you've got to make your best work, right?
So at what point did you start to take yourself serious then? You were saying just now about...
like 10 minutes ago, I suppose.
Right.
No, I'm joking. I did take myself seriously, but now it's consumed everything, right? So my life now is just painting, right? And then thinking about the paintings and then making the paintings and then talking about the paintings And I think when it becomes to that, then you kind of give yourself a bit more kudos and think, yeah, no, I kind of know what I'm doing here. Like I think that the best position I can be in is to go to bed and be so excited to wake up and get back on that painting. I think that's recently that's happened a lot. And that makes you think, oh, I've cracked that. That's quite a good, it's a great position for me to be in, because it's torture if you make shit work and it's useless. You spend a long time being miserable about it, so.
What is your studio practice then? So are you in the studio most days?
Well, in my kitchen.
Right.
So I basically have to go through it.
Right. So you are in it every day.
My bedroom's here.
Right.
My studio's there. My kitchen's there.
Right.
So basically I go, shit shower, get dressed, go into the studio, say, Tiana, can I have a cup of tea, please? She brings me a cup of tea. And then I work. And then the day's sort of gone. There all the time, which is it's a good place to be.
When I came to the studio, I remember thinking you had incredible discipline, in the sense that you'd really dedicated so many years of your life to creating art almost every single day, and there were really like whole bodies of work in a way in boxes. You had all these boxes with
like, I love admin, my God. I've got like, where's Elisa? Oh, is she near? But when you came to the studio, everything's got a little photograph on it and is in a box wrapped in tissue. I revere this artwork. It's really important to me, right? It's not... Even when I say, was I taking myself seriously? Of course I was, because everything is in folders. And I used to sew together these pouches for the big paper.
Because
I studied fashion, right? I studied sewing machines. So sew those... Yeah, I think the work is... Yeah, I've always thought it's very important. And what do they always say to artists? Biggest issue you've got is storage, isn't it? Like, where do you put it all? But I've
so
made
you,
ways.
You got into drawing through fashion. You drew as a kid a lot.
I've always been an artist, right? And then I wanted to be cool, sexy, and go to fashion school, which was great, Willie. Thank you.
Why are you saying thank you? What's that?
Willie was the head of the St. Martin's fashion course.
No way.
Hi, Willie. And actually, love that. Very instrumental in after I was wheelchair bound, was the woman that forced me back into education and then made me go again. So very, very pleased you're here, Willie. But yeah, so I went to do that and then realised that I was doing the fashion print course because I love drawing, and it's drawing on clothes, isn't it? And then, you know, various things got in the way. I didn't finish that, blah, blah. And then I thought I'd just, you know, become a painter. It's always been there. So, and I've got a lot to say that I can't necessarily vocalise. And so I can put it onto paper and now canvas. And yeah. So.
But in a way, the progress the fact you made so many drawings, and they were often of a single figure, yourself, self-portraits, but it was repeated, and each one would be slightly a shift, slightly different, but all connected. And then I feel like that was the perfect sort of training ground, in a way, before you hit the canvas. It was like you had all this kind of time to really think about what images you wanted to create.
But even they were even really basic things. Like I made like a 70 photographs of me cutting my toenails, you know, or like masturbating, literally, like
just at the same time, or like, yeah. That's a skill.
What? Were the pair of scissors involved? Are you mad? No.
Oh my god.
I mean, it didn't take long, did it?
No.
So, always drawing. But that's why I write that on the wall. Always, always, it's always drawing. I call these drawings. They're all drawings. And actually, I was saying to Tracy yesterday, you know, I always used to think of painting and drawing as separate things, and they're exactly the same to me. They're all drawings, which is another thing, I suppose, going back to working on canvas, that these are all drawings. That's why, why I previously was like, all drawings should be on paper, but they're not, you know. And so, yeah, paintings are just drawings. So that's yeah.
How many years is this body of work then that we're seeing?
2021 to now.
Right.
There's a lot in there, though. We went through a lot. And anyway, so then Tracy said, I was like, oh, making lots of pictures. And often sending her pictures, but trying. I do struggle with that. I just don't want to show too much to everyone because I don't know. You become a bit self-important. But anyway, so I was sending them to Tracy sometimes when I thought they were good. And then eventually she said, oh, I'm opening my studios and I want you to be our first like show, which I was like, okay, it's gonna bite your hand off.
Did you immediately say yes?
Yeah, I was about to be sick.
No, I know, but I also felt like you wanted to make sure it was like the right time for you, though.
Yeah,
I remember talking about,
because when we spoke before, you weren't ready. You were
absolutely not. No, I certainly wasn't ready. And now if I look back and I'd done a show then,
yeah,
I'd have probably been ashamed of the show because it wouldn't have been a good show, right? But now I feel very proud of this because there was that time scale. And I'm not going to say to improve because I think art is really intrinsic, and actually the way you make something is always brilliant. Gilbert and George say, if it comes out of you, then it's art, right? But in order to have kind of an oeuvre that... So then Tracy and Elisa came to Suffolk and went through everything. And to be able to have that to offer and for them to curate something like this from it is amazing.
So the title Caregivers, when did that come to you, and what is
I
that?
I hated the title.
You're giving someone evils right now.
No, because I'd sent Tracy a picture of my assistant Tiana cuddling Plop the dog and said, only accept caregivers that do this to your dog. And she said, caregivers is a great word and a great title. And I was like, it's rubbish. Like, I don't want that allusion immediately to like disability. I don't want any of that, blah, blah. And then I thought about it and I was like, well, actually, obviously it's not just an allusion to disability, is it? You know, my dog's a caregiver, right? My family's caregivers. Like, I give myself care, I give myself not care, you know? So it's a lot more clever than I first thought. So then we had a little discussion and Tracy won. So
yeah.
now I don't think it could have been a better title. And especially bearing in mind that the title kind of was discussed previous to her having selected and Elise having selected what they're showing. And so yeah.
What was that like, the selection then? Did you feel incredibly vulnerable with people coming into the studio have you had people critique your work before at the studio?
Hans-Ulrich Gobrist.
Well, come on.
Come on.
One of the world's foremost curators.
Who actually said, Serpentine.
He almost fainted.
When, did he?
Did he?
He actually did.
Because of the work?
Yeah, because it's really good.
What happened? Well, how did that come about? What was that
Gilbert
like?
Gilbert and George bought him.
Wow. So let's go back to Gilbert and George. And how did Gilbert and George come into your life?
I've known them a long time. And we like to go for have dinner. And they really believe it. Again, I mean, I'm doing all right with people that like my paintings. So they've, from... ever since I once went to Carluccio's with them. Not that I usually go there, but I think it was a lunchtime, but usually we go really nice places, don't worry. But Carluccio's with them, and I just obviously just had some drawings in my back of my chair, and I was like, oh, by the way, just made those. And they're like, oh, brilliant. And ever since then, they've really thought, you know, they've really been behind it. And And so they know Hans Ulrich very well, and they bought him in a taxi.
To Suffolk.
From London.
Did they?
How long does that take? Well. Is that like 3 hours?
Yeah, really long, really long. And I'm a really nervous person, so obviously I was pissed by the time they arrived. Drank loads of champagne, and then I made them scones. And we just had us. And at this point, Tiana, who was my caregiver, wonderful woman, was literally running around, getting artwork out, filling up glasses, like spreading jam on scones and everything. And I was just talking about myself. So, yeah, brilliant. So, so he came and they bought him. Very good.
And
so,
then Alyssa and Tracy visit the studio that day. Were they in a taxi for 3 hours or?
Tracy's got a driver.
Okay. But still you
obviously
had time.
I was like, do you need a lift from the station? No.
No, we're fine. Still you had time to think about that. Think about their arrival. I think we were talking that morning or the day
obviously
before.
Being like, oh, what? Of course you are very exposed by, because they're very exposing, these pictures, right? And I think that actually building up this show, what was it when I had that studio in Hornsey and I first thought, actually, I'm going to start painting myself, because previously I'd painting flowers and things. And that was kind of this real like, oh, it's a big step actually to kind of expose this. Me.
So, do you think it's also because you spend so much time in a way by yourself with the work? Because I know you're often quite, I mean, all artists actually, it's quite a solitary thing. Uh-huh. But I think for you particularly, even because you're in Suffolk, like you're not in London where people can just stop by. I know you have the odd neighbour who stops by, but and then you've got your garden where you like grow...
Really good vegetables.
Vegetables, exactly.
What sort of vegetables? I'm really into pumpkins and squashes.
Gosh. What are they like to grow?
Leggy.
Leggy?
They go long. You need a lot of space.
I had no idea.
But you do have quite a lot of space. The garden's quite long.
Yeah, but no, but anyway.
For the legs.
For the legs, yeah.
Anyway, just full of legs. The pumpkins are brilliant, but I do like to grow things a lot in the garden. I'm like a middle-class gay man. I just like cook people food and do gardening and then make paintings.
But what I'm trying to say is, though, it's quite picturesque where you are.
Yeah.
And it's quite calm, and it is quite... You're on your own quite a lot.
Yeah, it's a very lonely place. There's not a shop or a pub or anything. And actually, for me, that kind of total immersion into self is a double-edged sword. I mean, it's very unhealthy, but at the same time, for work, it's really healthy because then no one's like dropping in saying, let me distract you. Make sure I walk the dog each day, and otherwise I've got painting to do. So it was like the intense introspection, as I say, is maybe not necessarily very healthy, but it has been key to making this work.
And I feel like this body of work for the past 2 years since you've moved on to canvas is really beginning to allow the viewer to somehow experience the energy of that interior world and the... All the different sides to the way that you feel, largely because of the layers. Like these paintings are really layered, and they feel like you've got words sometimes. Sometimes the words are hidden, but it feels like they're really worked on surfaces. Whereas the early work, like the drawings, had all these ideas, which were almost like, for
separate.
Me, like separated ideas, which when you bring all those ideas together, suddenly it becomes this really strong emotional sort of field.
Because how many layers can I do on a piece of paper? Not many. And if I scrub it away, so I like to get rid of things a lot. Especially if you make something that makes you feel really vulnerable, then you get rid of it immediately.
Oh, really?
Or I always do, yeah. I still haven't, I can't be accountable yet. Maybe one day, but I spend a lot of time getting rid of things that feel too difficult.
Do you regret that now in retrospect for the works that you have got rid of?
No.
No?
No. No. Well, my PA... Tiana and I always argue about this, and I'll make a drawing, she'll be like, fucking brilliant drawing, looks just like you. And I'll be like, there'll be 10,000 other drawings that look like me, but it's upsetting me, so I think we're going to say no. But it's funny, she's the only person that ever looks really at the pictures for a long time, and there have been a lot. But I think that's not normal. That's exactly why they are deep enough, because... Yeah. And also, there's never an idea. There's never a plan. I never plan a painting.
Oh, really?
I just go in there and start drawing.
Did you still work on paper, though?
Yeah.
Right.
Drawing.
Yeah.
Especially, I think drawing is obviously the most important thing an artist can do. So even though, I don't know, if I'm doing a big drawing of myself, a big painting or whatever, drawing of myself, and it's not got my nose on it, then I might go and draw my nose 100 times sometimes. Like, I started to do these kind of repetitive, like almost like drawing exercises to be like, because obviously I want to present the best work I can, right? So, yeah, I need to have, always paper, but and I have sketchbooks as well. At the moment, I'm just drawing my dogs hundreds of times every evening.
But I thought you also do it in the morning, don't you, sometimes?
All of the little, these little ones are always drawing in the toilet because I spend a lot of time in the bathroom.
Which is why you see the tiles, though, as well, in the background.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's why. And so so that was basically...
Is there a mirror you're looking at when you're doing it?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why they're all...
He has a photographic memory. He can just imagine himself.
Yeah, exactly. so they are... Yeah, so those... Should we talk about them?
Yeah.
They are... I like them a lot, but they're really hard.
Describe them for people listening.
They are... Never more than 25 centimetres by 30 centimetres, small, quite dark portraits of myself sat on the toilet in front of the mirror because I spend a lot of time being interfered with in bathrooms. And so I start drawing it each day. And I just do it in the biro or whatever, quickly draw it. And then when I got up, after I'd got dressed or whatever, then went and started painting it, but always in the morning because they're really hard. Working really small is really difficult compared to working large. So it's quite good to get that out of the way. And then it gets to 5 o'clock and you have a glass of wine and make a big painting. And so they're different, but...
But even in the small ones, you've really got this idea of light really accurately, I think. If you look, there's a whole room. We're currently in the biggest kind of room, which is this kind of almost like a town hall or something.
It's like a chapel.
A bit like a chapel. Yeah. It's actually an old bath building. So people, I think, used to take baths. Actual physical baths to wash themselves in here. But there's a little room out there and there's about 12 or 15 small paintings.
Do you know, that made me quite emotional when I was in that room. I think it's really... I said to Tracy yesterday, so I think you could imagine someone going to that room on their own, spending quite a long time feeling something in there.
Yeah.
And I think that's... brilliant.
For me, there's something about the intimacy of them because they're so small. You have to really peer into them and the presence of a human if you're like looking
at them.
You're
right there with me.
Yeah, you are.
You know, you're right there.
Yeah.
And that's a lot, but I think it's something I want to say. So go for it.
Can we talk about text
that
appears through the work? Is this something that's new to the practice or is the text work something that's been continuous alongside?
I always write everything down. I basically really want to be really, really clever. And so if I was really clever, I'd be a writer. But I always write things down, especially kind of what I'm feeling. And
is that one of yours?
Sounds like my dog. I've got a dog barking.
Lots of dogs here.
There are a few.
Yeah.
I always write things down. And actually, I always started writing on the studio wall. On bits of paper and stapling them up on the studio wall. And then I was struggling a bit with some paintings. And so a few of them are just what... So like this one says you're not trying to prove you can draw. And that's written on the studio wall and I had a photograph of it. And then it basically is a drawing of the studio wall because it's all the paint that's, you know, been there previously. But I think that insight is also into how I work and what I'm thinking when I'm working. And so that's me saying, you're not trying to prove it. Like, I can spend too long making art my dad would like. Which is just anything by...
Your dad's waving at the minute.
Anything by Holbein.
Right.
And he'll
I like Holbein. Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's great.
But he's very pleased if I make a likeness of myself in charcoal.
I am growing to understand it.
Yeah.
He's growing to understand it. Yeah. Love that.
So now this is a selling exhibition. So... Mm-hmm. Things are available to be acquired. The first time.
Well, the first time.
Because you've had people DM you saying, can I buy work over the years? Because
when people want to buy work, right?
Yeah, we say no.
And I always say no.
Because?
I want to be genuine.
What do you mean?
I wanted to do my first show with all of my work to be chosen to be in it. And I wanted, whatever happened, there to be a body of work that I haven't sold off yet. Because I wanted... it to be enough. And I wanted that this is everything I've done for 3 years, right? Condensed. And it just seemed disingenuous to start flogging things off previously without ever showing them. Because then that's kind of a bit mercenary to me. But I totally understand that other people wouldn't do that. But I was lucky enough to be able to do that. I mean, I did sell like Kelly's mum, I sold her one. for like 50 quid about 10 years ago, but
she's done well. Well, so how do you feel now then that things have been sold already, things are going into
it.
You do. How do you feel about having your work on people's walls or in collections?
I'm very proud of it. I think it's good. I think it's like, I think the work is good, and I think whatever message there is in there is a really important message, and it's certainly not, yeah, it's not kind of trite in any way. There's a lot, and so I think if I dare say it, I think what I've got to say is very important, and I'm pleased that it will be seen and appreciated.
Materiality wise, what are we looking at paint wise? Is there certain brands you rely on? What brush do you use? Can we talk about what the materials are?
Do you know what?
Go on.
Lady in the van.
Yeah, Alan Bennett.
My boy. Another thing I think about being a painter. If you can ever be as happy as Maggie Smith with a scourer dipping into that Madeira cake, like she just got the Madeira cake in the yellow paint and painting that van, and being so happy when she's painting, like, isn't that what everyone in the world would like to be as a painter? Like, she's just having the best time. And sometimes I sit there and just imagine I'm Maggie Smith slapping, like, I mean, some of my paintbrushes are decorators, brother. You know, there's not... And thick old paint that, you know, and I think that is so good. So he's still there.
But,
you were in that one, though.
Yeah, I was in that one, yes. I played a rent boy in that, yeah.
Just
typecast.
I brief.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
But what are we looking at? Acrylic, oil?
Mixture. Acrylic paint is great because it dries really quickly.
Right.
And I, as I say, like to make mistakes, or make things I don't want to show you and cover them up. So that's quite nice. The best thing you can ever use is oil bars, because they're just big crayons. And because of my like dexterity, I find it really brilliant to have that contact with canvas really nicely. I think charcoal's probably the most important thing though.
And your color choices, the earlier works were a lot muted, more grays and browns. Mm. And now we're seeing real pops of color. There's like a magenta there, there's pinks.
And also talking about the oil bar, there's like a red text here, which looks like it's an oil bar.
It is.
Which says a pain that demands to be seen.
It does.
In shocking red.
In shocking red. It's one of my friends who's here is a very clever woman who is a, what is it? Like psycho.
A psycho.
Yeah.
What? Very clever psycho.
What is your job?
Psychologist.
Psychologist, not psycho.
And she's a lifesaver. We've spoken quite a lot about myself. But about painting and why I make paintings and how I make paintings. And once we kind of, she gets quite into it as well. And we once having a long text conversation about, you know, what am I painting? Why am I painting this? What's going on? What's coming out? Blah, blah. And a pain that demands to be seen, right? That's exuding from paintings, even if they're not graphic paintings. And I was like, she's fucking cracked it. You know, she's got it. So I wrote that on the wall, you see. So that's why. And then I wanted to cut it out of the plasterboard, but didn't really. So I just drew it again, but on there.
So if we go to your studio, do the walls look like this still, or do they get painted?
No, because I can't rely on that. So often you have to white over things, because otherwise it gets too much. And also I want to see what I'm painting. But I've got photographs of all of... If I think I've written something down that's worthwhile, then I photograph it, and then I might put it in later.
But you don't use oil and acrylic in the same painting, or do you?
Yeah.
So you do?
So that's oil. They all are. They?
Oh,
all
yeah.
The big boys are all oil, but they're oil bars. They're not, you know... I never went to art school, so I don't have absolutely no idea how to use oil.
Oh, I see,
paint.
So it's not oil paint. It's oil bar with acrylic and then sometimes charcoal.
I don't know
what
turpentine is. I don't know this. But,
got it.
No, but of course I do.
But something that I feel like I hadn't seen before in the work are all the drips. Yeah. And also there seems to be mark making from all different angles, mm-hmm. whereas previously I feel like it was always from one position.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Turn the canvas over.
Turn the canvas over?
Oh, you twist it.
You have to move it. Another lesson from Josie Emin.
Ah.
Basically, I can't reach a lot of things because I'm sat down. And so things like sometimes I put on a bamboo stick, paintbrushes or charcoal, also flip the canvas like that one, flip fuck over there. Then my feet are also in my head because I drew the feet. And then I wanted to not have those feet there. And I wanted to draw my head in the same place. Or that one with the yellow one, so that my legs are above my head because I couldn't reach the top. So, you know, there's practical things. And actually, what's quite nice about the show is it's all hung at a very accessible level, but without, you know. But now you know.
Just to go back to the question about the colours and the colour palette,
yeah.
What are these brighter colours giving you now, and how comes it's going more in that way?
I don't think I'm afraid of it, colour.
Did you used to be?
No. But I think it's probably more clever to kind of limit yourself, and then kind of fly a bit. And so all these are only, what is it, Van Dyke Brown, Red Oxide, Indian Yellow, and Prussian blue and white, and so all of those are made, basically most of them are made using
the smaller paintings,
the same palette, but I strongly believe also in repetition. I think there's quite a lot of power in that, so I felt like that also because the room is like, that's the color of my bathroom with the tiles, you know. And so now, yeah, back to the color. I don't know, I think it's probably, again, it's intrinsic, isn't it? What feels right, what feels...
I was wondering if it was because of the larger format, though, as well, because a lot of the work I'd previously seen wasn't necessarily like 8 feet or 6 feet, or I feel like you've got more... You've kind of expanded, and I wonder if that also means that you want to express yourself with more sort of wider colour. Spectrum of colour or something.
I don't know. Maybe. It's not a... Certainly hasn't been like a conscious thing. What I've done recently, though, I've totally banned red.
Have you?
Yeah, because... I can get into a bit of a hole being quite aggressive with painting. And I think I can probably be more clever than just make kind of bloody painting. But they're totally necessary. I've got lots of bloody paintings at home that I'll probably never show anyone, but they've got to come out of me. But for what I want to present, I think, yeah. So at the moment, there's no red allowed. We'll come back, but I think... I probably should have prepared. I haven't really thought about colour in that way, but I do. Yeah, but I think it's intrinsic in me, isn't it? And certainly it's nothing to do with fashion, like in terms of colour of the year or anything
It sounds like it's just how you feel. But
yeah.
But also there's some smaller paintings where they're all blue and it's almost like you're in water or something. And They're the Margate paintings. Because talking about colour, they really impacted me because they sort of make you stop. They're quite like startling in a weird way. There's a serenity to them and a beauty.
When I first came to see you guys and Tracy and Margate.
When was that? A year ago. We went to Dory's. Angela's. I remember having lunch with you.
Was that a year ago?
And my friend Carmen was here and we had lunch at Angela's.
Last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just made a few small paintings after it because I felt, I felt compelled when I got home to draw myself. And also there were experiences. Like there's one, again, my caregiver, Tiana, she... Because we went down on the beach and I use a wheelchair, so it's not very easy to go on the beach, but it was okay to go on the beach. And then...
You got new wheels then, didn't you?
Yeah, they're rubbish. They don't work.
Oh, really?
But no. But that's okay. But anyway, I've got nice people behind.
I thought they were beach wheels.
Yeah, well, it's supposed to be, but don't believe what you read on the internet.
Okay.
But
yeah, but you were very excited. I remember being on the beach with you.
Yeah, and then Tiana picked up some seawater and was like, look, it's like you're swimming, but just threw a handful of sand into my mouth. I was like, oh, that's so nice, lovely. And so that was a joyous moment, and also touching water and touching the sea and being in a different, because I can't get on a lot of different terrains, you know. And so I left Margate and I made those paintings just because I was very, very happy after being in Margate. I thought it's sexy in Margate, you know. It was this whole, and I stayed in this, unfortunately it's not there anymore, but brilliant hotel that had like diamante plug sockets and everything. It's so good.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, it was a really good time. And I think they're quite joyous paintings, those, you know. I think they're different, as you say, they're quite different. They're quite
I feel like you feel quite free in them.
Yeah, of course. They are. You're right. And the colour, you see, that is good. It's a lot of different blues and kind of the colour of sand. But it's still quite limited there. But yeah, now I understand what you mean, because things kind of have opened up quite a lot, colour-wise. But maybe I mean, what is it? I've got more paintings in my head than I'll ever be able to make. So
can you paint whatever mood you're in?
Yes.
So it's therapy in the fact that you work...
I don't know about that word, though. Is it therapy? Because I know therapy is very important, but I'm rubbish at it, you know? And actually, a lot of the time, I don't have anything in my head if I'm painting. And sometimes I do, and sometimes I just feel really aggressive, and I just paint something really aggressively for 2 hours. And actually, if something really upsets me, there's nothing better, especially with these oil bars, than if you've got like an 8-foot canvas, just colouring the whole thing in for like hours, because you need to... So yeah, maybe therapy is, but I don't know if that... To me, that sounded a bit floral. But what I mean is, yeah, of course it is, but I don't know. I don't know if I'd admit to that.
And you're saying about Margate moved you to make new paintings.
Yeah.
Is Suffolk somewhere you see yourself for the foreseeable, or are you considering different locations?
I'm considering not being lonely, because I think... when you're on your own, and also when you're not mobile, not being able to get anywhere or do anything is quite isolating. And as much as I say, double-edged sword is great for work, it's also not very good for your head. So, yeah, I am. I think it would be beneficial to not spend all my time on my own, perhaps.
I'm really interested in that idea of when you're painting, you almost aren't thinking.
Yeah.
I've heard that from a few people here in Margate recently, that when they make... either, you know, obviously with their hands if they're making art, but when they're making, often it means their brains actually aren't thinking, and it's like almost like a clear...
transcendent or something.
Yeah, or, well, no, or an escape from...
The devil makes work for idle hands, right?
Right.
And if I keep my hands not idle, then I won't, you know, be the devil. You know, that... Yeah, absolutely. I think repetitive activity, making paintings, thinking about that. And, yeah, sometimes you... rooming out on completely different things when you're painting that are absolutely unrelated to the painting. And then when you finish painting, go to bed, then you think about the painting, and then you wake up and you think, oh. And actually what I've found really good recently is, or just take photos of the paintings, and then like in the night, look at the painting and think,
oh wow,
what's going on there? And sometimes on the iPhone, you can do this little thing, you can scribble on top of it. So you can add something on top and think, well, actually... it never gets there because it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
It's very David Hockney of you.
Is it? What, technology?
Well, he does the whole iPad drawings, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to use technology, though, do I? I was telling Elisa when you first did the podcast, I had to buy a laptop because I was like on my phone, and I was like, oh, this is a great opportunity. And you said you can't record it on the phone. You have to have an actual, and I had to, oh, fuck it.
We lied to you, by the way. We could have actually just called you.
Oh, could you?
Yeah, we did one the other day.
Can I have a... We've only just worked that out, though. Can we give you the money for the
it
laptop?
It was a conspiracy. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you want the receipt?
It was everyone around you saying, yeah, he needs a laptop.
Yeah, it's like... anyway, I'll tell you that story.
So they could Skype with you.
What's happening now? Where is the work going next? Because this is up. Are you considering other projects, yeah, other
course,
bodies?
Yes. Of course. I'm working all the time. Actually, at the moment, I'm working a bit too much, so it's good to have a break. Not too much. Tiana says too much. I don't. But at the moment, yeah, I'm very into me dogs. And so I'm very...
Yeah, dogs for you are incredibly important.
Dogs save your lives. Dogs save your lives. I'm very lucky to have my dogs. Yeah, I mean, if anything's difficult, you've got an animal there that is really nice to you.
And you've actually immortalised your dogs in
these
works.
There are. Two of them made it in. And yeah, they're incredibly important. I think to a lot of people, dogs are so important. And especially, you know, I'm on my own in the countryside, so... if you don't want to go anywhere and you want to isolate yourself, at some point you still have to go out with your dog, don't you?
True.
There was a beautiful Fat Tony post on his Instagram the other day, because I follow him, because his posts are always really funny. And sometimes actually very thought-provoking in deeper ways too. But there was one really touching one where it's like him hugging his dog. I think it was like a rescue dog.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, and it was him hugging the dog, and it said something like, rescue dog saved my life or something. And I was like, what a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Mine have got a really good pedigree.
Before I want to open up to
your
the,
dogs are divas like you are.
Yeah, I want to open up to the audience in a minute for a Q&A, but before I do that, I'd like to ask probably an obnoxious question, but what was the response like to coming on Talk Art? Because you were very anxious. Thank you for that laugh.
I rolled my eyes.
Lindsay Mendix over there, who we probably asked this to as well. Oh, it was Rob's face. What did you do?
I went...
All right, okay. Diva.
Not that one.
Diva swish. What was that like? Because there was some anxiety for you coming on, and then it was quiet.
Yeah, I mean, I do... You know, I struggle with kind of presenting myself in that way, because obviously I like to talk about myself, and I get a bit over the top with it, and, like, my friends have to say, like, can I speak? What is that? There's extreme trauma brings extreme narcissism, apparently, you know, that's a natural... You know, and so I did struggle with that kind of... Go and go and talk about myself and be, obviously, once I got into it, fine. But no, it was very, it was very interesting. I mean, I actually don't know, because I've never listened to it and I've not read your book, because I'm really bad at myself in that way. So everyone else loved it, the book and everything, but I've not listened to it. But I did get a lot of nice responses from people, but I can't obviously look at it.
I remember it being one of the most listened to podcasts we did.
And, it was good. Yeah, do you know what?
We had people all over the world writing in and trying to buy the work and trying to see the work. So
I felt very trusting of you, though, and I felt very comfortable doing it. So that was really... I've got this... Lots of things have happened in the past and I've not been into it, but I felt like that was a really great opportunity to be myself and do exactly as I wanted to and as I could tell a story that's not necessarily a brilliant story, but maybe will become one. So, perhaps.
Let's get a Q&A going. Has anyone got any questions? And we'll just shout them out and then we can just repeat them. Your mum and dad are here. Mum and dad got a question at all?
No.
Come here and talk into the microphone for us. Please, Dad, come and talk. Let's get a round of applause for Oliver's dad.
I know. I said I wouldn't do this, but I'm doing it. Sorry.
Edit this.
It's actually quite embarrassing.
So hold it up to your mouth.
We've watched the journey, and it's an interesting journey. I didn't always agree with him, but as usual, he's proved me wrong. He's here. And it comes down really to one word. Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Well done, Dad.
Round of applause.
That's very sweet.
Lydia Pettit, what's your question?
I was wondering how... Because obviously you've been doing this for a long time without being seen.
Yeah.
So how has this... Doing all these self-portraits over and over again affected your relationship with yourself, with your body? And then how has being seen affected that?
Well, a lot of the time I call him. So he's not necessarily me, is he? I always used to call him. But now I'm becoming a bit more accountable for myself. And a bit more... I do understand that I'm obviously painting myself. But I detached him and called him quite a lot. Because, I struggle with reality. The whole thing's fucked. So, you know, so actually... in terms of, like, relationship with my body, I don't really have one. I've got a relationship with my everything from the neck up, I think. But otherwise, I think that's it.
You have a lot of photographs. Tatiana's taken lots and lots of photographs.
Tiana,
has taken loads of photographs.
She does. I get her to do a lot of photographs of me because obviously I can't just stand in front of a mirror. Although I do have now, I bought this, it's like enormous 8-foot by 6-foot, this dancer's mirror. And so I sit a lot when I'm drawing a lot, in front of that, I do a lot of, which is really nice. Cause I think observational drawings, that's where things shine for me. I think, you know, the drawings, big old mirror, a lot of photos, a lot of imagination sometimes. I did a drawing of myself the other day. I said, Tatiana, that's way more sexy than I am. She was like, yeah. You get rid of that jawline. But yeah, no. So, I think in terms of, yeah, but representing my body, as I say, I don't really know my body because it's been cut off. So I don't feel shy about it or worried about it. I mean, I would in person, absolutely, but these are totally different, you know. And I think it's also, like, they're pretty beautiful paintings. So I think. No matter what, if there's a wheelchair, if there's a piss bag or something, I don't care about that. You know, it's actually, at the end of the day, I was thinking about this and trying to be clever about it. But at the end of the day, as an artist, you also want to make a really beautiful image or a beautiful painting that someone wants to cover. And that's why a lot of these things, they're artifacts that I think are nice.
Is there a work in the show that's like your favourite one since you've seen it installed? Ooh. I know it's hard. That's like picking your favourite child. But I was just really intrigued how the actual curation and installation...
I don't know where it is. There's one that's really simple. It's a small one. And taking the paint off, it felt really simple but clever. Simple but clever is what I wrote it down yesterday, actually, when I was, or day before I left, when I was working on the studio. I wrote down, I want to make the simplest possible painting, but things get complex.
And what does it actually feel like, though, seeing your show now as a show, as a, you know, 3D physical show?
Because they've all been in my house, in my studio, which is 5 meters by 5 meters. And also I had this incredible honour of Elisa and Tracy curating it. So people say, oh, are you nervous about it? You know, are you worried about the work? And I was like, well, no, because I made the work. That's the one thing I can do. But in terms, you know, self-promotion, the internet, like curating anything, I don't know, talking to people, maybe not talking to people, but, you know, I had to make the work, and I've had this honour of them putting it together and actually doing something which none of us would have done because everyone would do it differently. But it's really... it knocked me socks off. I only saw it for the first time yesterday, and I went into the lift and just was hyperventilated for a little. It's remarkable, really.
I'm happy it's in Margate as well. I feel like it's going to be a really wonderful show for everyone to see.
And something to be excited about.
It's amazing, and it's so deserved, Oliver. Have we got any other questions? That's it.
Great. I think people are like, where are the drinks?
I know, I'm the question, one statement. So I'm the only
it's like the private view's about to begin.
So we're going to go to our final questions then that we haven't talked art, which is a tradition. If you could do an art heist, you could have any work of art in the world for
yourself.
I've
already done it.
What should...
Now?
Another one. Is it changed?
Rothenberg. You told me about her. Tell
us about Susan Rothenberg.
Russell told me about this painter who I'd never heard of who paints fucking paint. Like it's paint, you know? And it's so clever. So I'd have a dying dog.
You'd have a dying dog, yeah. Mm. She loved dogs. Dogs meant
she
the world.
She loved
to her,
dogs,
yeah.
But she was really, really bright in terms of the way. Like it's about paint, you know, which is really nice.
Have you been looking at her work a lot then?
I've had a look. There's not much online though.
No, I'll get your book.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
But yeah, no. Recently, I've been very impressed. But also, little Vermeer wouldn't go amiss, would it? Like I love.
Well, the scale, the little ones look like little Vermeers. So, and because the way that you have the light coming from the left-hand side of the canvas is very Vermeer.
He had windows. That's had where my bathroom window is.
Exactly.
Though,
well, there you go. He always had that. And then
maybe
and
we can set up an art swap.
That's what I love about them, though.
It's only 35, aren't they?
Yeah, get on a Ouija board and do a
thing
swap.
I love about those small works is the light and the reference to light and the way it's altered in every single one.
And it's quite theatrical in the way that his were quite theatrical.
I mean, you're being very flattering. Thanks, but yeah, I really like. Yeah, I think even if things are, you know, a bit more expressive or abstract or something, there's always light in them. That one with the, you know, the yellow piss bag still got the highlights and everything. I think
that one always reminds me of a street lamp as well for some reason, like a hanging light or something.
Mm. I always fall asleep accidentally with of an anger poise next to my bed.
Yeah, that's kind of what it made me think of.
And
really.
I always fall asleep underneath it, and Tiana comes downstairs and says I'm like a lizard because I've completely fallen asleep and it's under this light. But yeah, no, it is. But yeah, light is important, isn't it?
I love angle poise. What a beautiful design. Well, the other question is, what is your favourite colour in relation to this show, as it's your second interview?
Van Dyke brown. All of these...
The whole background, everything is tubes and tubes and tubes of Van Dyke brown.
Van Dyke brown?
Yeah.
Is that actually the name of it?
Yeah.
All right.
I use golden paint, so I just think they're...
So golden paint's a brand?
Golden paint, yeah, it's like a brand, it's just paint, but I think it's quite nice. I don't know.
And do you mix or do you go from the tube then?
They're literally, they are mixed. So I put out little, because I told you, there's six colours or something. But no, the Van Dyke brown is just Van Dyke brown. The other thing's mixed up a bit. But again, it's not an intelligent choice. It's the colour of my bathroom.
And so. What's the best advice you've ever received, or maybe the best advice from Tracy, in terms of this show?
I don't know. Shit, wait.
Or when it comes to your work, from anyone, what's the best advice?
Gilbert and George.
Yeah.
Don't destroy anything because it's all art if it comes out of you.
But you have destroyed things.
Yeah.
So you didn't follow their advice.
No, of course I didn't. But then I don't also... But, you know, I get advice from Tracy that I don't follow. But I think it's... yeah, it's helpful, isn't it? Also, being confident is a really important thing. Like, I always think if you're a painter and you make a painting that isn't confident, then everyone else can see it's not confident. So, yeah, having that confidence to believe in yourself and do that. A lot of the time when Tracy and I are talking, she says, but you knew that anyway. And I'd be like, yes, but I just need to, you know, get a bit more gumption behind it. But yeah, no, I'm so lucky. Look at this. I'm so lucky. I've had so much advice. I mean, you guys give me advice, you know, you just, Russell and Rob, what am I going to do? How am I going to get a show? Keep working. Okay, just keep working.
Yeah, we have a WhatsApp group chat called Pictures. Yeah.
Just pictures. And usually it's keep working. Yeah. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep working exactly what I did.
So. I like it.
Yeah.
Good work.
And keep me going. Well, sorry to send you another picture. I feel so vain. Oh,
shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Stop sending us pictures. We've seen them all before.
No, not at all. Not at all.
This has been amazing. Thank you to everyone for being here as well.
Thank you, Oliver. Can we get a big round of applause for Oliver?
And you can follow at TKE Studios, yeah. TKE Studios, and they have images of all the work. You're not on Instagram, are you?
But, no, thank you.
No, but we are, and you'll also be able to go at TalkArt and see, and you can buy the new TalkArt book, The Interviews, which features a whole chapter dedicated to Oliver, which actually, when Tracy saw it, she looked at yours and she went, oh my God, I love Oliver's chapter. She saw hers and went, his is longer than mine. Yeah. And then she went, well done, like that.
And how long is Caregivers, the exhibition, on to?
October the 15th.
October the 15th.
October
and
the 15th.
For anybody listening and everybody here, this is a free exhibition. You can come during the hours it's open. Alyssa, please tell us on microphone what. This is Alyssa who runs.
Alyssa Cray.
TKE.
Hello. Yeah, it's open Saturday and Sundays, 12 till 4. Yeah, every weekend until 15th of October. And then, yeah, weekdays by appointment so people can email the studios. Do it that way.
Get to Margate, everyone.
Yeah.
And we'll be back very soon. Right. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks,
Oliver.
Bye. Thanks.
Bye.
You've been listening to Talk Art with Robert Diamond and Russell Tovey.
Follow us on Instagram at Talk Art, where you can view images of all artworks discussed in today's episode, with music by Jack Northover.
Subscribe to Talk Art at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever it is that you get your podcasts.
Give us a rating and write us a comment. Thanks for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.